In recent months at Kingsview, we have been reading in the morning services through the book of Exodus. And in the chapters leading to the one that we have read this morning from Exodus, God was giving instructions as to the building of the tabernacle, the place where he would meet with his people, the place where they would worship and where sacrifices would be brought, the place where the high priest would go and represent the people before God. This high priest would offer sacrifices to God. The high priest would wash at the bronze basin before entering into God's presence. And we also read of the garments that the high priest was given and the instructions that God gave for the making of those garments. All along we have tried to show of how these scriptures direct us to Jesus Christ, what it means also for Christian living today. The instructions have been given. Now God gives the call out for those who he has appointed to take up the instructions and to put into practice what God has instructed. He calls men here to do what he has said and to make the tabernacle, to make the parts of it, and also to make the garments ready for the high priest and the other priests. God has been speaking as to what he wanted, what he planned. Now it's time to do. Now it's time to do. He's spoken of what he wants. Now it's time to do. And this passage tells us about how God then follows up what he has said. He has spoken of what he wants. Now he speaks about how it is to be done. So we read about this call he gives out for two men especially to be involved in the making of the tabernacle. These two men, Bezalel and Oholiab. Bezalel and Oholiab. And, little is known about these men other than what we read in this passage. But we are given enough in this passage to have an understanding of what God is doing. We've read through the instructions that he gave for the tabernacle. Notice that God gave specific instructions. He had in mind exactly what he wanted to be built. And then we also saw with the instructions for the priestly garments there that the instructions were even more detailed in this garment that the high priest would wear. And as we've been reading these parts of the Bible, no doubt it has crossed our mind that there would be a great deal of skill involved in the actual making of them. And that's what this passage says to us as well, that yes, there was a great deal of skill involved in making it. And so we read of this first man, Bezalel, and God says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, to work in every craft. A man that God had appointed who was skilled in all these different ways of working. ways in which are skills that were God-given skills. God-given skills. I have done this, God said. I have filled this man with the Spirit of God, with ability and with intelligence, with knowledge and craftsmanship. These are God-given gifts. There's a great deal of skill involved in making what God described, and what God described, God also supplied. God also supplied what was needed for the building of the tabernacle. He wasn't going to give these instructions for the tabernacle and then stop short of the making of the tabernacle. He would supply what was needed for the building of the tabernacle. So he'd supply the people that were needed for its building. He has filled this man with his Spirit and has given him the ability to make what he has instructed. So when we read of this man, we say, well, what an expert and a skilled man he was. And yes, an expert and skilled man he was in this work that he was taking up. We also, at the same time, have to say what a great God this is in the giving of the skill. Isn't that something that we should remember as well when we are thinking about what God has said and what God has given for us to do and what God has given man to do, that where we see men and women at work and skillfully at work in doing what God has given, we don't stop, we make sure we don't stop at saying how gifted that person is or what skills that person has and what they're able to do. But we also, as the scripture leads us, go behind what is seen to acknowledge and to praise God, who is the giver of these gifts, and without whom these gifts and these skills would not be in existence. God is the one who gave this man the Spirit, the ability, intelligence, knowledge, and craftsmanship. How often God is forgotten, though, in these things. But the scripture causes us to remember the goodness of God and the giving of gifts to men and women in the things that he desires. The tabernacle was, God gave instructions for the tabernacle, the place where he would dwell. The instructions were given by his Spirit, and they would be fulfilled by his Spirit also. The Spirit of God who communicates the Word of God, and he has given his Word. And now in the building of the tabernacle, here's a man that he has filled with the Spirit of God. When we think of the tabernacle of the Old Testament, we are also brought in our minds to the building of the church. The building of the church. The building of the church, which is also of the Spirit, of God's Holy Spirit. The instructions that are given for the building of the church are instructions which are breathed out by the Spirit of God. They are given for us in Holy Scripture. And then also in the taking up of that work, God who supplies his church with his Holy Spirit and men with the Spirit of God to be pastors and to be teachers. There is a match, you see, and this is what is the church ought to look out for also, a match. A match. We saw in the tabernacle that there are aspects of the tabernacle and the earthly copy that match the glory of heaven. In a way that is that heaven is seen to us, but it's seen to us on earth. So the veil of the tabernacle woven into the veil where the cherubim, which was there as an image of what is there in heaven, there is a match. We also saw that there was a match between the colours of the tabernacle and the colours of the priestly garments. There is a match that God is making. There's a heavenly match for us as we look to God in Christ. And so also as we seek to worship God, God who is a holy God, God who is Spirit, unseen, God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that there is also a match that we seek to live by His Spirit, not by our own efforts, not by our own powers, but by the power that God gives through His Spirit. He filled the man with the Spirit of God to do what the Spirit of God had said. There was then in the building of the tabernacle dependence upon God's Holy Spirit. In the building of the church, this is seen above all in the life of Jesus Christ. This intimate relationship of Christ and the Holy Spirit of God that was there from the beginning of Christ's life to the end of Christ's life in his death on the cross, and then the continuation of his life in heaven, and then in his resurrection. This intimate relationship between Christ and the Holy Spirit. Scripture tells us he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. At the very beginning, Christ conceived by the Spirit. He walked by the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. It tells us that he offered himself through the eternal Spirit. He was raised by the Spirit. Then when he entered into glory, as he promised to his disciples, he would send his Spirit. And that's what we read of in the book of Acts. And here we are reading of the master builder, the builder of the church. Oholiab and Bezalel were given the task of building the tabernacle, the task of building the church. Is a task that belongs to Jesus Christ. As we read in the Gospels, you're Peter, and on this rock, I will build my church. I will build my church. Isn't that a wonderful truth? And a blessing for the church this day, that Jesus is the builder of the church. In the Old Testament, Bezalel, Oholiab, they built the tabernacle. In the New Testament, Jesus builds the church. I will build my church. and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Perhaps, or it is helpful for us to bear both of these truths and keep them in mind. Jesus has said, I will build my church. I will do it. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Whether we are in our minds more inclined to see one or the other, whether it is that what we see is the gates of hell, and if that's what comes to mind first in life in this world, then we remember at the same time what Jesus has said, I will build my church, when the gates, even the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. And when we, or if we are drawn especially to that first truth, Jesus who says, I will build my church, that we ought not to be brought into any discouragement when what we see are gates of hell opening up. As Jesus has said, I will do it. And when those gates open, they shall not prevail against it. We have noticed in the passage this morning of the skill with which these two men must have had, and we're told in the Bible had, in the building of a tabernacle. Let us then also observe the skill with which Jesus builds his church. The skill with which Jesus builds his church. Yes, in this day, he is skillfully building his church. John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them from my hand. What words for today? When there are so many, it seems, powers at work that would wish to snatch us away from Jesus. And he says, no one will snatch them. He is a skillful builder of the church. And he tells us of the skill with which he builds it. He does it through and by his Holy Spirit. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. The skillful building of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ builds his church. He does so through the gathering of a people. He skillfully draws men and women and children to himself. There is this skillful work that he does in the hidden place, the new birth, the conversion to himself, a work which is one he does by his Holy Spirit. There is the being born again, matter of being born again, being born of his Spirit. And then Christ, who in gathering his people, converting souls to himself, then builds up his people, the teaching and instruction that he gives for us, the word which he communicates by his Holy Spirit, the things that he gives for us as well, so that we would be enriched and fed by the Lord Jesus Christ, the baptism and also in the regular observance of the Lord's Supper. He teaches us by his Spirit. We are totally dependent upon his Spirit for the building of the church. For the Spirit is that which communicates what is right and wrong. It is by the Spirit that we discern what is right and wrong. It is by the Spirit that he convicts the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. It's by the Spirit that we are convinced that the Lord Jesus Christ is with the Father in heaven. It's the Holy Spirit who guides into all truth. He builds his church providing for the needy. Again, he gives his Holy Spirit who helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He draws us to himself, and to draw us to himself is to draw us to God, that we now have this new life, a new life with God and in communion with God. He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. He is always at work on our behalf. And he gives us hope, therefore, through the Holy Spirit also. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. If you're needing hope, therefore you're feeling hopeless or in some kind of hopelessness, there is the provision of the Holy Spirit, Christ, who skillfully attends to and loves and has devoted himself to his church by his Holy Spirit. You may abound in hope. And then there's the bonds of love in the church. The love of Christian brothers and sisters. The love of this new family that we are brought into as Christ is skillfully building up his church. In Romans chapter 15, verse 30, it says, to live by the love of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that Christ has given. The change of character, reformation of character, the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit in preparation for God and his kingdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. The Christian's body and soul in Scripture is likened to a building. The tabernacle was a building. And the church is described, the gathering of the people, and the people themselves are described in the Bible as like a building, a temple of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit dwells in you if you're a Christian. And then the church bears fruit of the Spirit. Jesus has said, by their fruit you shall know them. The fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Then this is how the church walks, as it walks in this way of Christ. These ways are evident and experienced by others. As you walk, not to gratify the desires of the flesh, but rather to walk by the Holy Spirit. Christ is building his church, and he's building his church today. He is skillfully building his church today. If we should look to Christ, we shall see that today he is skillfully building his church. And that will leave a distinct mark on the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. And you show that you are a letter from Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but tablets of human hearts. Christ is building his church. When we see a skillful builder at work, we are caused to give praise. Oh, how that building has been so well made and designed, or that craft that so much time and skill has been put into making. When we are drawn to the church and to Christ, we shall see that this is the greatest skill of all at work, in Christ's building of the church. Paul, who speaks of the church as proclaiming the wisdom of God to all creation. Christ, who is the master and skillful maker of the church, gathering the church to himself, and Christian believers given the Holy Spirit. As Bezalel was filled with the Spirit and enabled with skill to build what God had commanded, so also living by the Spirit, by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, produces a skill of living in Christian life. A skill of living in Christian life. May we seek, by the grace of God, to live, therefore, in that way. Let us pray.